today.
This might have slipped under the wire for some, but the Supreme Court on Monday, with a big rejection of something that comes up a lot in immigration cases, and that's where we start here on America Tonight. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney. We're going to take you to Pakistan. We're also going to tell you the latest on, of course, the swine flu, or N1H1, as its new name is starting to stick a little bit out there. The government slapped that onto it because a lot of people were seeing that swine flu was leading to people walking away from pork. And no joke, they are pushing pork in my market. I don't know about yours. And, of course, we know in Egypt they've been ordered to slaughter the hogs, and the farmers are furious, and that's happened in a couple of other places as well. But back to the topic at hand that jumped out at me, because I was reading the Times and some other things about this latest Supreme Court ruling. So here's what the deal is. And follow along with this bouncing ball. It's kind of easy to understand, but I might take you on a couple of different twists here. So the court decides to reject this one deal that happens in immigration cases, and it has to do with Social Security numbers. They ruled unanimously that a federal identity theft law can't be used against a lot of the illegal workers who use false Social Security numbers to get jobs. The question in this particular case was whether workers who use that fake ID numbers to commit some other crimes, do they know they belong to a real person? You know, they have to know that they belong to a real person for it to be a two-year sentence extension for aggravated identity theft. So that's what the Supreme Court ruled. They said they have to know that. So, hello, the bottom line on this is, if I'm here illegally and I have fake documents and I'm using them for different things, nefarious or otherwise, right? You think I'm going to cop to knowing that they were fake Social Security numbers? Now, this is the way this is what the National Immigrant Justice Center in Chicago says. They say that the court's ruling preserves basic ideas of fairness for some of our most vulnerable workers, meaning the illegal immigrants who are in the country. Because if an illegal immigrant uses a false Social Security number to get a job and doesn't want to harm anyone, it makes no sense, they say, to spend tax dollars to imprison them for 2 years. Now, Justice Alito concurred that and said that the one flaw in the interpretation of the law pushed by the government was that it made criminal liability turn on chance as to a defendant who chooses a Social Security number at random. But let me throw this in. 2 years are added to the defendant's sentence if it turns out the defendant has Social Security numbers that belong to somebody. Now, I was on the air when this happened. We have listeners in Ottumwa, Iowa. Remember the raid on the meatpacking place? And that happened about a year ago, and it was in Postville. It was huge. Ice swooped, that's a better word, swooped in, and they got nearly about 300 or so undocumented workers from the plant, most of them from Guatemala, and they pleaded guilty to document fraud charges rather than risk being convicted of identity theft because they knew what would happen. In most cases, the prosecutors demonstrated only that the Social Security numbers and the immigrants' documents, the workers that they had false ones. In other words, Social Security numbers were false. So you can't go back and get them because most of the people have been deported anyway. They served like 5 months prison sentences and then they were deported. So they were, you know, that raised a big outcry from illegal immigrant advocates. I'm going to say illegal immigrant advocates because immigration, legal immigration is completely different. And it transformed it into federal felonies. And this is a common thing that happens, of course, when someone is working illegally. They have fake Social Security numbers and the other documents they need, because has anyone applied for a job lately? What do they ask you when you apply for a job? What do they need from you to prove who you are? It's an interesting fair or foul. And they gave funny examples, which is why I started with this. It would be fascinating, I think, to sit in on the tail end of a decision. One of the things that they wrote, or one of the justices wrote anyway, this was the example to break it down. If we say that somebody ate a sandwich with cheese, knowingly ate a sandwich with cheese, we normally assume the person knew that he was eating a sandwich and that it contained cheese. Meaning that, did you knowingly know about the Social Security numbers? And the case specifically was a Mexican citizen who worked in a steel plant in Illinois. He used a false name, fake Social Security number, and one that didn't match that of anybody real. 6 years later, he told the people that employed him he wanted to be known by his real name, and then he coughed up a forged Social Security and alien registration card that had numbers assigned to real people. What was he thinking there? So eventually, he pled guilty to several immigration offenses, and he got a 51-month sentence, which I think is fair because he ripped off somebody's documents. He had other documents that were false and whatever, and so he had stolen someone's identity. And he went to trial to contest the identity theft law, but it didn't work. He was convicted, and then he was actually sentenced to a couple more years. So here's the deal. Monday's decision reverses the two-year extension now because of what happened with this guy in the steel plant. For him, it will reverse that. So I would assume probably in this particular case, he'll probably be deported. Now, the numbers that the Pew Hispanic Center in Washington says, they say there's about 8 million illegal immigrants working in the United States. I kind of disagree with that. The Census Bureau is doing this incredibly painstaking, let's count every person in the United States, including people who are here illegally, and I say they're going to come up with a bigger number if you can find the people, if you can find people that are here illegally. And I contend that you can and you can't in some cases, so I don't know that we'll ever know a true number on that. You know, with the Obama boys, the Obama administration, the focus of enforcement to employers who intentionally hire unauthorized immigrants to pay lower wages has, you know, that's what they say they're shifting. But that was the tail end of the last administration, too. And ultimately, what have we found is that same thing, the deportation, the back and forth, the back and forth. I mean, are we ever going to solve this riddle? And I don't know that we're going to do that in the next 4 years. I don't know that the Census Bureau is going to get an accurate count. What do you think the accurate count is? Hey, you can jingle these numbers at any time to be a part of the show. 800-259-5791. America Tonight.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. 406-251-3270 today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 4th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $890.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $916.67, $458.34 for the half ounce, and $229.17 for a quarter ounce. That's $916.67, $458.34, or $229.17.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes and servicing debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Feel it, see it, do it today. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, cause it happens to me. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass.
Foul path. This has been something that's been brewing now for the last couple of weeks with the whole swine flu or H1N1 virus, this new influenza virus A. And what a lot of people from Mexico are saying, it's like a scarlet letter to them. Remember the plane that landed, and there, of course, have been several that have gone on to China and landed in Shanghai, for example, and they went on the plane and the Aeromexico plane and actually did one of those infrared tests on the people that were on board. What's happening is, for example, people are avoiding and changing vacations in Mexico City and Cancun and Cabo San Lucas and Playa del Carmen, and that's to be like a broken record because we've been talking about this. But, you know, it's that whole quarantine thing. But Mexicans are saying they've been typecast as disease carriers, and they are subject to massive, humiliating treatment. So, and the belief is, the belief in Mexico, what they're saying is, look, we have a country of more than 100 million people, and we only have several hundred cases of swine flu that are actually confirmed. 20 other countries have confirmed cases. But this media coverage is fearing the pandemic and the belief that the fatal virus originated in Mexico. Mexican health experts are disputing it. They're saying, oh, no, 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 no. In fact, they've gone as far as to say, and it's true, scientists are trying to pinpoint the exact origin of the virus, right? The earliest cases were found in parts of Mexico and then in the United States. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention here in Atlanta, what they're saying is that a lot of these genes from flu viruses normally circulate in pigs. That's why you got the swine flu thing in Europe and Asia, and is also in birds and human genes. And what's happening is there have been some aggressive responses, like in China. And, of course, you know, you kind of understand the Chinese response. You got to remember, they had SARS. SARS killed 700 people. So you hear that people are falling ill in Mexico and how many people have died, and you're going to get a aggressive response. Of course, you're going to confine dozens of people. I mean, is it fair or is it foul that they arrive on this Aeromexico and ultimately they're transported to hotels and hospitals, and I guess even some were escorted from the hotels in the middle of the night to be tested. And they're trying, what China's saying is, look, we're trying to isolate passengers on a plane that had at least one infected passenger. But the Mexican government is not biting on this, and they're saying China unfairly quarantined a bunch of the citizens, a bunch of their citizens, and didn't care with any kind of a regard to what would be an acceptable public health practice. So it gets deeper than that. When I say it gets deeper than that, because this China's the latest challenge, I guess, with a pretty sharp response. Mexico is flying. Mexico's going to fly the citizens back from China on a charter flight. That's happening probably right now, including 17 that were in quarantine, right? So Felipe Calderon is flipping on this, the Mexico's president. He's saying that unnamed countries were acting out of complete ignorance and disinformation, and they're repressive and discriminatory measures that are happening, and it's ridiculous. And that the calls for Mexicans to stay out of China are unjustified. Yeah, but that's the whole law of quarantine and infectious diseases and the strain of swine flu. And they're saying that the strain of swine flu doesn't appear to be, and we had a couple doctors on, doesn't appear to be as dangerous as initially was feared. So you got to control the spread, and you don't want it to get more severe. But now, because of this kick-up over China, you've got people saying in Mexico, and Mexican, you know, government types saying it's not our fault about this whole disease. In fact, subtly, and not so subtly, they're starting to point, and then even in daily news briefings, they're starting to point to the United States, and that the earliest cases were also detected in the U.S. So Mexico City has a new label for the outbreak. They're calling it the California flu. And because of the political correct police, you know, the whole Mexican flu thing and the kick up over that and feeling the stigmatism, there were actually was a radio host, Jay Severin, who works out of Boston, who went off on the people crossing the border, and specifically there were some things that he said that plucked him from the airwaves for a suspension for some of the comments about the people in Mexico. So the question is, hey, this is what I say. Don't be kicking dirt at the U.S. when you're having so many U.S. doctors and the CDC and others step in and help. I mean, forget the who's blaming who. Regardless of where it is, if it was the United States, if it was, you know, Peru, if it was in the middle of the ocean somewhere, if it was, I don't know, the Bahamas or whatever, people are going to avoid it. I don't necessarily think that that's out of line. Maybe the brusque behavior of ripping people, I wouldn't be thrilled with that out of hotel rooms. But the right to check the plane, especially when someone's infected on it, I don't think that is out of hand. I don't think going on the plane when you have someone who has it is out of hand because of the SARS thing and because of the fact that there have been cases there. It's the epicenter. It seems to be the epicenter. More people have died there than anyone else. The one kid that died, sadly, in the United States came from Mexico. He wasn't an American citizen. So there's fears, there's accusations, there's charges of racism. We've changed the name of it 3 different times. I mean, everybody, I think, needs to sort of chill on this whole thing. And if it originated, like I said, I don't care if it's Iceland, I don't care where it is, you're going to feel that stigmatism based on, especially a country like China, based on what they've had to deal with in the past. So I don't think it's out of hand. Do you agree? 800-259-5791 or americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Okay, I say this all the time, and even tonight Stu from Kentucky called in, and it's true. This is a show for people with ADD because I contend that there's so many things happening in the world, good, bad, evil, and things that make you laugh, things that make you want to cry, all that sort of stuff. And that's what I hope we do in this show, that you really get a slice of what's going on in the world. We told you about the fact that, sadly, we've found out just a short while ago in Pakistan, you know, the car bomb goes off. Basically, a car slams into another car carrying some of the Pakistani troops and kills four of them, injures eight others, injures some kids, and there's threats that you're going to see more of that because of some U.S. missile attacks and the Pakistan military's attacks on various factions, including Al-Qaeda. So they're retaliating, let's say. Most of the push is the Taliban. The push is from the Taliban to get to Islamabad. Will they get there? I mean, that's the curious thing. If the United States steps in, and there have been troops, obviously, that have been moved to Afghanistan, how much can the United States ultimately do? How much is the United States, meaning the president and Congress, etc., at this point, how much are we willing to lend that helping hand? How important is it that we do that? Look at a map. I say this all the time, and I do this myself. If I forget, I mean, I know where the countries are located, but just look at that map and look at the areas that we're talking about and get a real sense for the kind of real estate that we're also mentioning here. And ultimately, with dealing with Baghdad, and then the deadline, June 30th, and what's going to happen to Baghdad? Is that going to be overrun? I mean, that's probably my biggest fear, is that's what we'll ultimately see happen after all the time that's been invested to help the people, because you got to say help the people at this point, at least many of them are saying that to our troops, in Pakistan. Coming up for something completely different, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, it's really tough to get ammunition almost anywhere you go. Gun shops anywhere in the country have a run on guns, and especially on ammunition. And why is that? The fear that the administration is going to take away guns, going to have stricter laws, or tax more, put more money on bullets. We'll talk about that on the flip side.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use in FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Companies continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS pepper spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion stun gun is a great way to take down a potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MRDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional, but then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD tells you about everything you need to succeed in the privacy of your own home. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our alcohol recovery program that if you can find a better home recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-309-0958. That's 1-800-309-0958. 1-800-309-0958.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank. And it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. And you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. See the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on.
Yeah, there goes the machine guns. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This is true. It's very tough. I mean, how many people listening to me? I don't care if you're in Vicksburg, Mississippi, or you're listening to me in Illinois or Connecticut, although Connecticut with the stricter gun laws, or anywhere you're listening to me. How tough has it been to get ammunition? You know, what's been tough is very tough for people with 9mm semi-automatics to find bullets because, and I know I described this, I did a little test. You went to Walmart and a couple of gun shops, and basically when they get the supply in, it's first come, first serve, and you have to be there. It's like lining up for a reunion tour of the Rolling Stones, I guess. That's probably a bad analogy. U2 or some group that's super, super hot now, let's say. And you find that you got to camp out, baby. And that's what's happening. That no joke, no matter where we are, whether it's Denver, whether it's Dallas, and some of the places I already mentioned, because the weapons, the now expired ban on assault weapons has, you know, the support to reenact it, but there's no indication that that's going to happen. It's kind of been certainly shoved aside, at least for now, because there's too many other things going on. Gun owners aren't taking any chances with it, so you found that what's happening is people are trying to get as much ammunition as possible. There was one gun shop that I called because I just made random calls. You know, we'll do that so often on this show with different things that we're talking about. And I made a bunch of random calls. And what happens is because they've had such a run at this one shop that I talked to, they have a 4-box-per-customer limit on ammo. Before that, they were selling about 10,000 rounds of 9mm handgun ammunition a day. Some calibers of ammunition could just completely unavailable, like the 380. They've said at some places I call, they haven't seen it for a couple of months because people are buying cases or whatever they can get their hands on. I mean, how crazy is that? It's a shortage. So now you're going to have a shortage because you have people buying and hoarding. And I would assume, too, that that could drive up the prices, right? I mean, hey, if you've got this, if you've got what people want, wouldn't you think that that would drive the prices up? And, yeah, it's ammo shortages, definitely. Widespread, small and big-time retailers are finding the same thing. I can't believe not one person, and I'm curious, is there one person listening to me in America that has had this happen to them, where they cannot find ammunition to save their life, and they just have to wait in these ridiculously crazy early morning lines to hope that they can get a box or two. Now, whenever you've got shootings, which is bloody awful sad, why people just snuff other people's lives out for various reasons, domestic dispute, whatever you can pin it on, it's just mind-boggling to me. It's hard to wrap my mind around that, right? You had what happened in Oakland. You had what happened in Binghamton, New York now. And, of course, this has been over a month. But you've had mass shootings, certainly, in the spring that have killed dozens across the country. So does it affect your opinion on guns? Because if you go back to 2001, a lot of Americans, according to the polls, really have supported stricter gun laws, even though their support slightly dropped in the last couple of years. But a recent poll that was done showed that there's been a sudden drop, only 39%. That's pretty big. Think of going from 2001, 54%, to now 39% of Americans favoring stricter gun laws. CNN did a poll on that. So there's been this gradual decline in support for gun control from the 1990s to 2008, which, this is the thing, it did coincide with a decline in the murder rate. You know, you can argue that, and I've talked to law enforcement types about that. So is the sudden drop influenced by politics? Is it Obama being in office? You know, what ultimately, what has led people to go that way in this poll? Because that's a significant drop. Yes, it's many years in between, and you have to think of the state of the country. That's pretty significant. So I'm wondering if other people out there are experiencing the lack of availability as far as, like I said, as far as the ammunition is concerned. Because I've seen it all over the place. And maybe it's a moot point that I'm throwing out there, because you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, you've been to the gun shop, you only have so much, etc. Or you live in a state with really strict gun control laws, and it's kind of a moot point for you either. I mean, either way, it is. But I like the fact that you have these studies to prove out what happens if you have really strict gun control laws. I didn't even mean to go into this, but since we're there, if you have really strict gun control laws, does it mean you have a decline in the murder rate? Does it mean that you ultimately have that? So, like I said, the statistics that I read recently show different things for the murder rate. And there has been a decline in support for the gun control. And so it coincided with that. I mean, ultimately, I do agree. It sounds, to some people, it sounds, especially if you think, oh, look at the crazy things that have happened. I mean, if we would just take the assault weapons away, take all the stuff away, and get it off the street, you would not have some of the things that have happened in these offices. These tragic things that happened with the nutty professor in Georgia who killed his wife and the two guys, and they're doing a play at a community theater, and he's, you know, he vanishes into thin air. And there are different twists on the stories, but you know how they all usually end. A lot of times it ends with the person killing themselves. So, you know, do you support the measure to try and reinstate it? I mean, that's a pretty big hurdle anyway, I think, in Congress. I think they want to stay away from that with so much that's happening. They, I mean, the elected officials. Because with the push on the other side from the NRA, it's just a tough thing to push through, even with a lot of Democrat pull. Even with Democrat pull, pretty, pretty tough. If you have 6 in 10 Democrats that do support stricter gun laws, but with the support dropping, especially among Republicans, and independents kind of split on that whole thing, it's still such a crazy hot potato that I don't think you're going to see them twist down that. I don't think you're going to see them twist down that road at all. Got a couple of emails here. One from Solly T. Solly T. says, "Kate, funny that you brought up the ammo thing. I remember you did talk about it probably about a month ago, and you mentioned the conversation you had with somebody at Walmart about 9mm ammunition. And I'd have to tell you, it is very, very tough to get. You are absolutely 100% right. I live in Kansas, and you really have to lift up every possible lid or have somebody you know save a box for you or whatever it might be, but it's very, very tough to get your hands on the ammo." So all those stories are correct. You are dead on, bullseye, baby. Love your show. Okay, so it's like I said, it's what I've seen. It's what other people have written to the show about. And the thing is, or I won't say problem, but the bottom line is why you're seeing that is that if it's fear because of the new presidency, if it's fear because of that assault ban now expiring, which I think is probably the bigger thing, because where is that going to go? And constantly you can point to the things that have happened recently, and they're horrible, horrible things when somebody goes in and just slaughters people uselessly, needlessly, stupidly. I just do not get the rampages. And what happened in Binghamton, New York is awful. I mean, the people that survived that, they must be going through incredible treatment because it was such tight quarters anyway. And there were people that barely made it out of that because he was going to unload every single clip, period. I mean, he was going to do it no matter what. And I agree with the people that say, and it's true, if this is your intention, if you are an evil person, you have the evil thought of striking someone down, you're going to find a way to do it. It doesn't have to just be the deadly bullets. It's not a popular opinion in some quarters. And it's certainly a polarizing kind of deal when you bring that up. You know, I say now at a dinner party, you know, they talk about, geez, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, don't talk about gun control, throw that in there, don't talk about immigration, illegal immigration. See, that's the thing that people always forget to throw out there. You know, we had the deal with Iowa and the fact that now legally same-sex couples can get married in Iowa. Well, in Maine, they're preparing to take up the gay marriage bill as well, and it looks like there's a great chance for that to happen. So the traditional marriage is a kind of a thing of the past in many, many states. It's starting to become something that's passed. There are a lot of states that are eager to push them, you know, to assert themselves on the whole issue of gay marriage. We're going to talk more about that coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight.
You want to discuss now my favorite color?
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's S-H-E-N-T-R-I-T-I-O-N, Shentrition.com, or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try to
separate. Yeah, the definite definition of marriage is certainly changing these days. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's the name of the show. If you've never heard it, we are Water Cooler Buzz, A Slice of Life, and whatever you want to call it. But glad you tuned in. You can hit us up by shooting us an email, americatonight.net. We have a lot of third shifters that do that, or you can jingle these numbers. If something sets you off or you just want to comment or you have a different opinion, 800-259-5791. Here's the deal. You just saw what happened in Iowa. Now Maine is in the same situation, and we're seeing this pop up all over the place. A lot of states are saying we're going to take matters into our own hands. Now, since 2004, Maine has had a domestic partner registry, so that's supposed to give some legal rights to those, you know, that you, like married couples, would enjoy, in other words. But when it comes to wills, workers' compensation, retirement benefits, all that sort of stuff, it's moot. So in the state House of Representatives, just like in a lot of the other cities we've seen recently, they're going to take up the same-sex marriage bill that was endorsed by the state Senate. Now, the Democratic governor, John Baldacci, is undecided on the bill. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, by the way. Vermont's legislature enacted a law, as we know, for gay marriage. We have people listening to us in Vermont. And courts have ordered Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Iowa to legalize it. So the New Hampshire Senate and House have passed different versions of the gay marriage bill. And some states have adopted civil unions or domestic partnerships, which, of course, blah, blah, blah. You certainly know that at this point. And it looks like a lot of states are just raising their hands and saying, hey, we're just going to weigh in on this issue. And we're going to have, it looks like we're going to have just a patchwork of different laws across the country. And they're all going to be tweaked a little bit differently, too. Because, for example, in the traditional marriages, a portion of the deceased estate goes to the surviving spouse if there's no will. Even if the will excludes the spouse, they're entitled to about, I guess it depends, but a third of the estate. And what does this do for same-sex couples? It depends on the place that we're talking about with these with these states popping up to try to figure it out if they can pass the bills or not. So there's differences in guardians, there's differences in workers' compensation, and all that sort of stuff. The bottom line is, the more that you have states, I think, agreeing to same-sex marriages, and it is pretty gray right now because this is uncharted territory, there's just a couple of places where it's allowed, and then you saw the reversal in California. If this becomes state by state, will it just stay that way, or will the feds jump in and just go ahead and dive into the deep end of the pool again? I think that's maybe what happens. I'm kind of surprised, but the more you have these states come up with that, you know, come up with various versions of same-sex marriage, I think the more that you're going to see, it's more than dipping their toe in it. I think you're going to see a dive completely into the deep end of the pool on it. And I know I said on these airwaves, whether you think it should be or shouldn't be, or don't, you know, maybe you're super conservative, but you don't understand, just let everybody have rights across the board, because I've heard that from some people, and I'm saying super conservative, because they've just raised the white flag, which is surprising. Well, it might be moot point anyway, because you'll go from state to state and realize, well, okay, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, what happens there? What happens in Vermont? Yeah, Massachusetts. Keep an eye on this ball, because it is bouncing down those steps pretty rapidly. How about that? Yeah, big time. Big time. In the meantime, we have a couple of other things that have happened in odds and ends. The idea is to give you a snapshot of what's going on around the United States. We talked about ammunition and the shortage. That's not necessarily anything new, but it's just gotten worse and tougher to get certain guns and ammunition. And, of course, the prices are going a lot higher. Now, something that happened over the weekend, sad story, and we have it coming up here on the show in case you missed it. The Dallas Cowboys have one of those practice facilities where it's like a bubble, it's a canopy, and they have steel beams that support it, and they have lights on the top of it. And who knew they would have this weird wind shear situation that would happen, that would be 70-mile-an-hour winds, and you had 70 people inside. And now you've got just a young 33-year-old scout who is paralyzed because he happened to be in there, and it was flattened just shy of a weak tornado. It's what they called it, actually, a microburst. And it might have pushed it even a little bit higher when it hit. If you remember, there was a microburst, and I thought this happened, but I looked it up. There was a microburst in 1985. There was a Delta SAD, if you ever saw the footage of that, a Delta Airlines crash at DFW, the main airport, one of our biggest airports in the United States, that killed 137 people. And what the Weather Service is saying is it's amazing that you had 12 people injured, one paralyzed, which is sad, another one with serious leg injuries, but the fact that more people weren't, you didn't have people killed, was a miracle, just incredible. And the only damage you saw, and I went by there today, the only damage you saw was just right there on this piece of land, right on the Cowboys' bubble. And this is a thing that they built. They built it when Bill Parcells, I guess his first season. And it was pretty much like a 100-yard football field. There was kind of clearance all the way around. The roof was 80 feet high. So if you think 80 feet high, that's about the equivalency of maybe think of an 8-story building. And you had 70 people all together in there. You had 27 players that were all drafted last week and were signed as undrafted rookies. And they're working out in the storm hits. Very sad with things knocked down, people barely getting out, realizing that they're caught in door frames. And, again, people that were trapped. Oh, just awful, awful, awful. But you wonder if some of these makeshift places will go by the boards, because even at the cost and some of the things that they did, there's going to be lawsuits, and we'll talk about this with an attorney in our next hour. I don't know that you'll see more of these bubbles. You know, the Giants had one. A lot of teams do that, but for fear that you could, you know, for fear that you could have something like this happen again. And you think of some of the structures, in some cases, I'm stunned, the structures you have kids in, even those tiny little portable classrooms and tornado alleyways, how safe are they? It made me start to think about other buildings and the equivalency of what happens if you have another microburst somewhere, because I know there are other people that use those bubble-type deals, and with the beams and the chance of them getting knocked out by a storm and having it collapse that way, I'm sure there are other things that could probably happen to the canopy, but there were some serious injuries. An injury, an open fracture below the knee, somebody impaled with metal. Luckily, nobody was, like I said, killed in this, but it'll bring up the whole idea of constructions and designs around sports teams, around kids in makeshift areas. When a school's being built or when a school has overflow problems, I mean, how many of you listening have had kids that have gone into those portable classrooms? And a district has to do what they have to do, but I often shudder when I see those and think, wow, I've seen those in really high winds pushed around. I mean, I'm talking about the really short ones, if you know what I mean. So, scary stuff. Mother Nature, again, slamming down in Big D, and we haven't heard the last of what happened with that tent-like structure. Watching the video go down, go to a website, go to MSNBC or CNN or any of the sports sites, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll get a real description of it, and you might have seen similar facilities, but gives you pause for maybe you still need that brick and mortar, baby.
I'm married. That's what married means. It means you sleep together, but you can't get none.